Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Connor. How you doing?
Doing all right, Earl.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Done.
Everywhere you go. Anyway, it's a veritable winter wonderland.
That was pretty good, Earl.
Well, you know, man, it is coming down. And anyway, that's for those of us who are here in the Midwest. I want to welcome a gentleman who I had the pleasure of making acquaintance with. I don't know, Pastor Bryant, this C.L. Bryant, man, that's been, I don't know, man, what, 12, 13 years ago, man? It seems like yesterday. But Pastor C.L. Bryant, he created a movie many years ago called Runaway Slave. He is engaged and involved with Freedom Works America. He also, and what really drew me to Pastor Barrett, Bryant, excuse me, was many years ago, well, it's not many years ago, when Donald Trump became, when Donald Trump became the president, he was running for president of the United States, Mr. C.L. Bryant, you would always see him right there at all the rallies, all of those things. And so, you know, that's where he is. That's who he is. Not, you know, what he's doing, but he's also a radio talk show host, amongst other things, television, all those things. That's my guest, Mr. C.L. Bryant. He doesn't live in New Orleans anymore. He lives in sunny Florida. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl Ingram. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you on the line. Let's begin by when you the Tea Party. Let's go back to the Tea Party and what happened during those days. I think that's when you first, you know, I came into prominence during the Tea Party movement. Let's talk a little bit about what happened to the Tea Party movement.
Well, what happened to the Tea Party movement was the difference in personalities, and happens in many organizations. You have personality conflict, people grabbing for the spotlight and that type of thing because of the magnitude of what had happened among the American people. 1.5 million came to a march that Freedom Works, the organization that I've been associated with for many years, for 13 years, we put on a march, and 1.5 showed up. I got a chance to speak to that crowd, and so ever since then, we have been married together. The Tea Party movement, or the Taxed Enough already, it's still very viable. It's morphed into different characters and different organizations, but the spirit of it is still there. The American people are still wondering what's happening to their money and why it's being spent without their consent. In other words, we're being governed without the consent of the governed, and that is exactly what we're all about at Freedom Works, building, educating, and mobilizing people across the country, 6 million strong.
So let's talk a little bit about that, about Freedom Works. So you talk about what's the purpose of it, right? What's the purpose of Freedom Works?
Well, in a nutshell, our mission and our success is in building, is in educating and mobilizing a network of grassroots activists around the nation. And we have, like I mentioned, 6 million grassroots activists around the nation. And my job, Earl, is periodically to go and educate and sometimes motivate those people, because in these times, these political times, you're finding that more and more people are becoming disenchanted, disheartened with the, especially the election integrity portion of our voting system. And it makes us wonder, many times I bring this up, how is it possible that American Idol or even the Lotto can count all these tickets and count all the votes within just an hour? And people in Detroit or people in Arizona have to take a week to find out who is going to represent them. There's nothing really backwards and wrong. And so our job is to make certain that people become engaged and make sure that they become watchdogs. We teach them how to do that with boots on the ground.
So Freedom Works, it's safe to say, is more of a right-leaning conservative organization.
Right-leaning conservative organization with definite libertarian tones.
So let me ask you, what is government's purpose based on your opinion?
Government purpose is to provide a pathway for people to, American government purpose is to provide a pathway for people to live their lives safely and securely in the land that whoever we elect to office and give them the permission to govern us. They should govern by the rules that are laid out in our Constitution. That was the central focus of our government, to create a more perfect union. And in doing that, we come up with the idea of E Pluribus Unum, from the many, one. And in America, we're looking at the individual aspects of what everybody brings to the table, because we are endowed, as it is said, by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. That means every one of us, as citizens of this country, has a certain endowment, and government's job is to protect that endowment, and that endowment cannot be protected unless the government is dedicated to offering us the safety and security to pursue our own individual interests without involving themselves in our personal and individual lives.
Go ahead.
No, it's not such a tightrope to walk. It's simply letting people do what they do and self-govern themselves, and we've been very good at that. And the only time we mess that up is when big government lays its hand upon the people, as it's doing now.
So, you know, elaborate about big government laying its hands on the people. What do you mean?
Well, when you're able to shut down a pipeline and cut off prosperity to a nation that was prosperous, that's big government moving arbitrarily and hurting the people. When you see things like the voter integrity that we're questioning, and many people have questioned over the last couple of years, you see a mechanism, a machine, let's say, that has, in fact, control over a certain demographic. And many times the programming comes through our news media. And that is big government involved in your program. It always has been that way. However, the heavy-handed leaning toward liberalism has not always been as prominent as it is now. The media has always been liberal in most cases, but it hasn't been as prominent. And that is because of the influence of our money that is geared to sway our opinion against the government that has given us the opportunity that to make the money that we put into the coffers of so-called government. Government is the people. Government is not some unknown entity, some giant entity walking around in Washington, D.C. No, that's you. That's your money. And people have lost sight of that.
So when you talk about government being liberal, it is clearly there are two sides of that coin. The other side of that coin is people who believe that the resources and the money, big money that has come into campaigns supported by conservative-leaning Supreme Court that allowed these dollars and corporations to become people have without question changed the way government is enacted. And while we're talking about taking away the rights of the people. Nothing has been more egregious to taking away the rights of the people than Citizens United, that has been supported, created, and supported by conservatives. Go ahead.
That's an argument that can be made. But what we defend is the free market system. An Elon Musk. I just finished a series called America in Perspective, a book by David Sokol and the president of our company, Adam Brandon. The free market system has created Elon Musk. The free market system has created the iPhone, and certainly it has created very, very wealthy people in the corporate world. However, I've never worked for a boss who didn't have any money, Earl. I didn't work for a poor boss. Never have. None of us have. And so that happens in America. You don't find Elon Musk anywhere else but here. You don't find even the iPhone, the invention of it, anywhere else but here. And one of the reasons why is because the system of government laid out by those old white men has created, and I think it might be arguable by some in other countries, but I can't see how anyone who's a citizen of this country can argue that America is not the greatest nation on the face of the planet, the greatest success story. Red, yellow, black, and white, doesn't matter how your ancestors got to these shores. They have had the opportunity by being on these shores to enjoy that great experiment called America. And I don't know why sometimes we find ourselves wanting to be drugged back into the past when there's nothing we can do about it.
So let me say to you, you talk about capitalism and being the greatest, you know, creation or revelation ever. You know, corporatism. We've evolved from capitalism to corporatism. I think there's no question about that. And the American people have suffered. And Elon Musk is a prime example of that. As we watched him take over a company and right away fire half of the people. Never thinking about those people and their families, and solely thinking about enriching himself. So, you know.
Well, that's an argument that can be made, Earl. That's an argument that can be made.
To be made because it's factual.
It's actual as far as people losing their jobs,
Hang on a second, Pastor Brown. We got to go to a break. Hold on. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is Pastor C.L. Bryant. He's with Freedom Works, and he's the author of a movie called Runaway Slave and many other things. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. C.L. Bryant. Again, he's with Freedom Works, and he's wrote a movie, Runaway Slave. Many years ago, he's a former television host, present radio host, and a gentleman that I think is, you know, it's safe to say you're colorful. I don't know, you've probably been called a lot of different things. Have you ever been called colorful?
Called colorful and colored and everything else.
Let me ask you, you talk about the government as if it's an enemy. You know, we can't do anything in this country. Government has a role. It plays a role. Regulation. What are your thoughts on regulation?
Many times business is overregulated, and that's one of the reasons why we're strapped with the gas pumps the way we are. Government, of course, has its role because we are the government, Earl. And see, we talk about government as though it's something that is separate from who we are in our individual precincts, from our individual kitchen tables. Of course it has a role, but it has a role in the context of who elects the officials to office. Govern us. We can't be governed, or we should not be governed in this country according to our founding documents unless there is a consent of that. And certainly we come to a point and forks in the road where we disagree. as Americans. And that's what the voting booth is all about. And elections do have consequences, as we have seen over these last 2 years, those consequences of elections. And so government has a right to do what it does, as long as it's according to the will of the people who elect their government. So, of course, government has a role. It has a role in our lives, because we're the ones who actually create that government in our individual states. And those states all have different characters, different personalities. Wisconsin has a totally different character and personality than Florida. And being in Florida, naturally, I might vote differently than someone who lives in your neck of the woods. But the principle, the foundational issues of who we are, and the foundational principles of who we are as Americans, the core values, is something that all of us enjoy as individuals.
So let's talk about what you referred to as the consequences of voting having consequences over the last 2 years. Let's delve a little bit into what you mean by that.
Well, certainly, you see it. Your children see it. The G.I. Joe, the Kung Fu grip, may not be available to you this year. Just using an analogy, right. An old analogy, because of the shortage of diesel. Why is there a shortage of diesel? Well, there's no refineries here. Why are there no refineries in America, and hadn't been one built in nearly 40 years? Why is that? Regulations. Earl, I come from an oil-producing state and have been involved in the oil and gas business, most of my life. I have property in Louisiana that produces that. And so the regulations to the drillers and the people who would, in fact, bring gas prices down and bring gas to the market. And Earl, having said that, when we have 20% diesel supply left in this country, you can expect everything to go up, because those trucks that deliver your goods to Walmart, they run on diesel. They run on diesel. So, folks, if you think this is going to get better, the consequences of laying off 11,000 people who were working on that XL pipeline, you're feeling it.
So is it safe to say you put this on the shoulders of President Joe Biden?
I put it on the shoulders of the person who cut off those jobs of men and women who were working on a pipeline that was, in fact, feeding America with low gas prices. And those gas prices also fed America with lower meat prices, lower clothing prices. I lay this fairly and squarely at his feet. Because why? He did it.
Do you believe
things weren't like this 2 years ago?
Do you believe in global warming?
I believe that the globe does, in fact, warm and cool cyclically, as it has done for however long the Earth has been here.
Do you think man plays a major role in that?
I think that is a very arrogant idea for those of us who can't be seen from outer space to think that we can, in fact, affect the creation of a creator. And Scripture talks about it. It talks about men coming to a point where they worship the creation more than they worship the creator. We think that we have such grand power over our environment, and we never have. The environment might kill us if, in fact, we abuse it, but we will never kill the environment.
Are we abusing it?
China and India, they're abusing the heck out of it. America is one of the cleanest energy places in the world, but yet we regulate ourselves out of business. And while we let our enemies continue to do what they do, and we talk about cleaning up the air, and we deny what they're doing to the air, but we lay a heavy cross on the backs of American people. When it's unnecessary.
So, Pastor Bryant, when we talk about regulations are there to protect the people. Never mind.
Absolutely.
Never mind about the businesses and the corporations. If it's left up to the businesses and the corporations, they're going to continue to poison the air, the water, the land, the food, because profit is their number one motive.
Tell the Chinese that.
Well,
tell the Indians that.
We live in America. And
absolutely and, right. And we're the cleanest country on earth.
The Native Americans took care of the land, the air, and the sea. And they made sure that once they left the place, it was better off than it was before they got there.
It depends on what tribe conquered the other tribe, Earl. Listen, man's inhumanity
We've got to go to break. Hang on. It's great to have Pastor C.L. Bryant on the air. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor C.L. Barrett. He is with Freedom Works and the author of Runaway Slave, a movie that he created, 10 years or so ago. He's also a radio talk show host in Florida. He's former television host. And the other thing about you, Pastor Barrett, is every time...
Bryant.
Yeah, you're what?
Bryant.
Uh-huh. Bryant, is that what you said?
Bryant.
Uh-huh. Bryant, I'm sorry, I don't know where I got that from. Bryant. But let me, you spent a lot of time with then-President Donald Trump. I remember when Donald Trump was moving around the country, you were always there. What was it you saw in Donald Trump?
Business. I saw business. I'm a businessman myself. In fact, I'll be with him in Mar-a-Lago tonight when he makes whatever announcement that the president is going to make.
The announcement is going to be, right? Everybody knows.
Well, most likely, but I'll let him speak for himself. I saw business. I saw someone who was no nonsense. I knew President Trump before DJT, as I call him. I knew him before he became president of the United States. Oprah knew him before he became president of the United States. Puff Daddy, Mike Tyson, you name them, go down the list. They all knew him and loved him before he became president of the United States. Why? Because they saw him as an effective businessman, and so did America.
So let me ask you, many people in America didn't see him as an effective businessman with all the bankruptcies, all the people he stiffed. How could you say he was an effective businessman?
Well, if he filed bankruptcy, he filed it within the rights that he has as an American businessman to do so. He didn't break any laws doing that. Many businessmen have filed bankruptcy as far as that's concerned to protect their interests. There's nothing wrong with that. That's your right to do that. He operated within the confines of what was available to him to protect whatever interests he had. That's the business part of it. But the fact of the matter is, Earl, and no one can deny this, we weren't in this situation 2 years ago. Red China was not doing what they're doing to Taiwan. Russia was not invading Ukraine. Little Kim in North Korea was not acting a fool the way he was. Why? Say that they may have been afraid of the president. That's nothing wrong with that. They should be fearful of the mighty power that we have as a nation. We do have that. And we should be able to defend our own borders. But we're not doing that. That's business, Earl. This is just not dollars and cents. It's also the right of our country to defend itself against foreign invaders, wherever they may come from. It doesn't matter. But right now, there is no doubt that our southern border is being flooded. That was not happening 2 years ago. So what's the difference between now and then? There's simply one glaring difference: policy change. Policy changed, and it changed overnight. And that's why, and that's where we have landed, because that election had these types of consequences.
Are you aware of the type of national debt that Donald Trump built up over 4 years?
I'm aware of the national debt.
Was that acceptable?
I'm aware of the national debt that started under George W. Bush and that was accelerated on steroids under Barack Obama. And that train lost its brakes and kept going downhill as far as it's concerned. However, the American people weren't feeling the pain of that like they are at this point in time, because there was someone who was conducting that train, had finally grabbed the reins of it and slowed it down.
So couldn't that same thing be said for President Barack Obama, who followed George Bush, who people forget at the time that George Bush walked out of office, the Dow Jones was at 6,800. And when Barack Obama left, it was up to 18,000. This is what I don't understand, Pastor Barrett. People have selective amnesia. When they talk about Barack Obama and then they talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not create the upturn in the economy. Donald Trump followed President Barack Obama and what President Barack Obama produced. And yes, President Barack Obama certainly created some deficit because he had to, because the nation was headed towards depression. Those are the facts.
Well, I tell you, ask any young black man during the Obama administration what he created for them, what Obama created for them. He didn't create jobs, because black people were more unemployed at that point in time than they had ever been. Latinos, the same way. Black men were more employed in groves. I mean, this is undeniable. Black unemployment was at its lowest state in this country's history.
I know the fictional depiction of what has been said, but I know one in two black people, even under Donald Trump, when he touted that it was the lowest black unemployment rate in history, I know based on the city where I live, that one in two black men were still unemployed.
Why were they unemployed? Why were they still unemployed?
Well, many of them have been unemployed because we live in a technological world now that requires a different type of education than it did.
So why didn't they have that education? Why didn't they have that education?
Well, that didn't have anything to do with Barack Obama or Donald Trump.
It has everything to do with policy. That's what it has to do with. It has nothing to do with Barack Obama or Donald Trump. It has to do with the policy of administration that drives people out of work and it drives poverty.
Are you willing to take a call?
Sure.
All right, let's go to Joe McNally. Hey, good morning, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
You have a question or comment? Go ahead, sir.
I'm doing very well this morning. I've been listening to your conversation.
Do you know where to begin?
He's a very amusing speaker. No doubt about it. I'm a little baffled. I'm glad you brought up the business bankruptcies, but it wasn't just the business bankruptcies. I mean, Donald Trump was left a fortune. That's the way many fortunes are created in this country. Was left a fortune, and ran through quite a bit of it. But he also, of all the presidents we've ever had, he's the only one who has turned the presidency into a personal financial scheme to raise money. When he won the election, he used the presidency to fill his hotels with foreign powers who were paying to stay in his hotels and to bribe him to do things for them. His son-in-law now is running a multi-billion-dollar financial fund in order to get rich, which is funded by Saudi Arabia. He made that deal right before the end of the Trump presidency. A lot of people have gotten very rich off of the Trump presidency, including the president, and losing the presidency was used to raise millions and millions of dollars by Donald Trump. I mean, it is a corrupt scheme. No one has ever used the presidency as a corrupt scheme before. And I'm just kind of baffled by the pastor suggesting that this is really good business. The fact that he's avoided prison so far, he may not avoid it much longer. I'm baffled that, you know, a businessman like the pastor respects that because he's gotten by with it so far.
Pastor Bryant?
He's been impeached. He was impeached. Everything that could be thrown at him was thrown at him. But back to your point, though, when we talk about corruption in the vice presidency, during Joe Biden's vice presidency, his son was selling that office to the Chinese and the Russians, as far as it's concerned. So if you're going to say that over a period of time, we want to know why, if Don Jr.
Yeah, but Trump was the president.
Well, yeah, and Biden is the president now and still protecting his son from the things that he did with foreign interests while he was vice president. That's the point. And nobody's coming after Hunter Biden. Nobody's doing that. You let that have been any one of the Trump children, and yes, they would be in jail if they had done what he'd done. But the reason they're not in jail, knowing that everyone tried to put them there, they didn't go. You know why? Even why Trump, when Trump was out of office, because they'd done nothing wrong. Joe Biden and his family have truly done something wrong. But there is not a level playing field when it comes to that side of the ledger and when it comes to what President Trump did in his own business interest.
Joe?
I just want to say this. That is really a sad response. That when I talk about major national financial corruption out of the Oval Office, this man responds by bringing up one of the saddest stories of a drug addicted son of a president, and I highly respect Joe Biden for doing exactly what any other family would do when there is a drug-addicted child that they love, which is to say, I love my child. I've done everything I can for him. Finally, thank God, he has gotten help. There are families all over America that have gone through that experience. And to somehow equate that young man, who had a lot of privileges, like many people who have a lot of privileges, it also can lead into some terrible places. And he's been there, and he's coming back from there. And his father has supported him. And that is something everyone in America can understand. And to equate somehow that incident with the widespread financial corruption run directly out of the presidency of the United States is just sad. It really is sad.
You know, Reverend Barrett, Pastor Barrett, what are your thoughts right now as Donald Trump is preparing to announce that he's going to run for president again, even though many of the people on the right who supported him initially have now basically said, your time is up, right? I mean, many of the people who thought he was this great brass guy on the right no longer believe that and think he is at the root of why this past election that the red tsunami never occurred. And they also believe that Donald Trump is poison. What are your thoughts?
Well, Earl, the primary season will prove that out. Again, the outcome of any election is in the hands of the people. And every one of us have our individual right to believe what we believe. If the president comes out as the head of the party, and he still is, by the way, or if Ron DeSantis comes out as head of the party, or Tom Cotton, or whoever may come out as head of the Republican Party, I'm going to support that person. I'm going to support who's best for my pocketbook. And that's all I can speak to as far as that's concerned. I can only speak to my pocketbook. And that's all I encourage any American to do. And you have to ask yourself a question in looking at your pocketbook. Is your pocketbook fuller today than it was 2 years ago? It's a simple question. Are you better off today financially than you were 2 years ago? And then you ask yourself the question, why am I not? Regardless of if Trump's in the office or Biden's in the office or whoever's in, Obama's in the office, you ask yourself the question, can I spend my money the way I did previously?
So, Pastor Brian, let me say this, because clearly there is a divide in this nation economically. You clearly are aware that there 50% of this nation struggles to make it through a week or daily. And so, yeah, there are some folk who have certainly benefited, and the divide between those who have and those who have not in this nation is kind of at one of the worst points in the history of this nation. I think it's bigger than that, Pastor, than what's in each individual's pockets. It's what's in the best interest of the American people. Can you hang on one more second? One more break. Pastor?
I'm here.
Yeah. Right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 and text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor C.L. Bryant, and he is again with Freedom Works, and he has written the author of Runaway Slave, a movie that he authored, a successful movie. He's also a talk show host and former television talk show host, in addition to a pastor. So I'll let you respond, Pastor Bryant, when I asked before we went to break, and then we'll go back to Joe, before we went to break about, you know, so many people struggling in this society, so many more who are, you know, their pockets are overflowing. And, you know, you're a pastor. The cattle of a thousand hills, all the silver and all the gold belongs to God. So when we talk about people's pocketbooks and all of those things, how can we, you know, it's got to be either or. It can't be both.
Well, let me put it like this, Earl, for clarity. I'm the former president, two-term president of NAACP in Garland, Texas. I've been black all my life, and I was a Democrat much longer than almost as long as I've been a Republican. I've seen both sides of the street. And the one thing I have noticed seeing both sides of the street is that one side expects an equal outcome. The other side does not. There's never an equal outcome. That's why we play the Super Bowl. Tom Brady doesn't want an equal outcome. There never is one. Go back, look at your high school pictures of your friends and so forth there. You'll see that there's never been an equal outcome. When you play any game in this country, or when you play anything, or when you participate in anything where there's winners and losers in this country, there is never an equal outcome, and so it is with finance. Some people handle money better. Some people have better opportunities. You just mentioned the two families, the Biden family, the Trump family. Different outcome for different families. The Trump children are not drug addicted. They're not adults. I know them well. But on the other hand, there's not an equal outcome for the Biden child, Joe Biden's son. It's just not an equal outcome. And so it is with the rest of the world. Families, brothers born from the same parents, there's no equal outcome there. And so one may have their pockets overflowing with money, and the other one is a bum in the street. There is no equal outcome. But America is a place where, regardless of what your pocketbook may look like today, you can change that tomorrow. And it doesn't matter who your father was. Didn't matter where you come from. It matters what you bring to the table. Any fool can take off the table what someone else has placed on it. But it takes the content of character to put on the table what God has blessed you with in order to bless the nation that you are a citizen of. That's the difference in the way we look at this scenario.
Joe McNally, sir.
You say. Yes, I'm interested, as the pastor says he is, in equal outcomes. And I'm certainly interested in the equal right to vote in America. And the fact that the Republican Party under Donald Trump takes the attitude that unless they win the election, it is stolen. That they cannot lose an election. In Wisconsin, we just defeated a Republican who wanted to take over the governorship, who said if he took over the governorship, Republicans would never lose another election. And that's the goal of Republicans across the country, to abolish equal voting rights in America, to basically be able to overthrow elections if they lose them, and to use violence if necessary, which we saw on January 6th. And they were sent there by Donald Trump, those violent insurrectionists, to overthrow the government of the United States, to hold him in office. And he hates his own vice president, who supported him loyally for 4 years to the point of embarrassment, because Mike Pence refused to throw out electoral votes that were legitimately won in elections across the country, and to accept. And Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, tried to hand Mike Pence some fake electoral votes where Republicans across the country, including in Wisconsin, signed documents to the United States falsely declaring that they were the legitimately elected electors from Wisconsin, casting their votes for Donald Trump, even though Joe Biden won the election. That is not an equal outcome. That is not an equal right to vote. That is not, and all across the country, hundreds of more restrictions were placed on U.S. elections to forbid and make it more difficult for African Americans, Latinos, anyone of color, and any Democrat living in urban areas to have an equal right to vote. They threw out boxes where they could leave their votes. They want to cancel all mail voting because Donald Trump says that's not a good way to vote, even though that's the way he's voted all his life. It is appalling to destroy the voting rights that were passed in the 1960s civil rights movement. The U.S. Supreme Court is in the process of totally throwing out the Voting Rights Act, and that is because it is a right-wing Republican court, and that is appalling. And I would like to have an equal outcome in America, and with the equal right to vote.
Pastor Barrett.
To get a driver's license. In fact, I don't know any black people. I've never known any black people, and I'm 67 years old. I have never known any black people in this country who did not have ID. What we're asking is the same thing that the doctor would ask you, is when you come to see me at the voting booth, you, in fact, have an ID. Georgia, I'm sure you're referring to that, has one of the highest voter turnouts in the nation. There's not any black people, and please don't tell me that black people are too stupid to go get an ID. That is not voter suppression. But I tell you what is being suppressed. I tell you when you can count American Idol votes in less than an hour, when you can count lotto winners and where that ticket was bought in less than a day, and you tell me we cannot count American votes the way that you count other things, something is terribly wrong.
Pastor Barrett, do you have to leave now?
Brian.
Brian, I'm sorry. Do you have to leave now?